If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7, and then I'm going to read 11 through 13 as well. And when you get to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, I'd like to ask you to stand, if you can, as I read from God's Word. 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, and is not jealous. Love does not brag, and is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly, it does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now down to verse 11. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the reading of your holy word. And God, today, I pray that each and every one of us will take a hold of your love, because God, you are love. You give your love to us freely. And all we have to do is accept it. And God, let us put it to work in our lives. And Father, let us meditate on your love and let us love others with the same love that Jesus has for us. And Father, as I preach this message today, God, change our hearts and lives, I pray. And let every word come straight from you through your Holy Spirit and nothing from my flesh or my own words. And we ask it in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I've got a verse I want to read to you about love. 1 John 4, 7 and 12, 7 through 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And I want you to really let that sink in this morning. If you love, that means you are a child of God. If you have received His love, it is alive inside of you. But if you claim to be a Christian and you do not love, then God's Word says that you don't know God. You don't know His kind of love. And that's where the basis of this sermon is at this morning, is that God is love. In God, there is no darkness. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe upon Him would not perish, but have eternal life or everlasting life in heaven. And it doesn't matter what we do. It doesn't matter what kind of gifts that we are given to us by the Lord. It will not profit anything unless it is done in love. If we do everything outside of love, we are wasting our time. Now, I want to point something out. This week, the yard sale is coming up. Now, if we gathered out there Thursday through Saturday and we put all the items out there and we just had, like, this is for an example. I'm not saying this is how it is, so I'll get that out there first. But if we got out there with just a ho-hum attitude, and we just kind of sat around like, well, what's going to happen today? And people start to come up, and if there is no love in our heart, do you realize that people would feel that this week? People would sense it immediately. Have you ever walked into a room and have you ever felt what people would call, they would say that the hatred or the negativity was so thick you could cut it with a knife? You can tell when the love of Christ is at work. And that's one thing that I'm glad about this church. When this yard sale is going on, and I experienced it last year on Friday and Saturday when I came here, was the love. When people would come up, people from our church were going up and speaking. I don't know every word that everyone shared or thoughts or anything, but I know that people were coming up. And here's the thing. If we are operating in the love of God, in His excellent love, and we are looking at others through His eyes, God will allow us to see every single need that comes up to this yard sale. And we have such a divine opportunity this week and next week in setting up the yard sale. We have an opportunity to share the love and the light of Jesus Christ with so many out here. Now, I don't know how many of you remember this or not, but last year we had a group of young people came in a car, and they got out, and there was four of them, and they walked up, and immediately the Lord said to me, I want you to go speak to them. So I walked up to them, and I greeted them with a smile, with love, and I started talking with them, and immediately I looked down, and I started noticing satanic symbol jewelry on them. And I thought, oh, wow. Now, some people would see something like that and probably almost melt and think, oh, well, what are they doing here? But that's exactly what we are here for as Christian people, is to share the love of the Lord with those who are lost and dying and going to hell. So I had an opportunity to talk with them for a few moments. And then when the Lord said, okay, that's enough, I want you to let me take care of the rest, I did invite them to come to church. They never showed up, but that's all right. But here's the one thing. When we plant the love of the Lord, when we share it with other people, it doesn't happen for just that moment and then fade away. The love of the Lord our God is eternal. It is forever and forever. The Lord has always been, and God always will be, and His love never changes. His love will never be any different. From day to day, God is always great, and God is always the same. And even in the midst of everything that's going on in our world today, God still loves even the worst of the sinners. But this week we have such the opportunity, and I hope and pray. Now, I plan on being here. I've got to work this week, but I plan on being here Saturday. And when I get here Saturday and I'm on the way here, I'm going to be praying, Father, let us lead somebody to Jesus. But my prayer is starting on Thursday that whoever's working will get to share Jesus with a multitude of people. And that when people leave here, they will say, that is the lovingest bunch of church folks I've ever seen in my life. That's what we need to be showing to a dark and dying world. Now, what I want to look at in the sermon this morning is I want to look at just the first. I know I read quite a few verses, but we had to read those verses to really take into heart what love is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't brag. It doesn't boast. There's no hate in love. But Paul gives us three distinct warnings in verses 1, 2, and 3. And the first warning that Paul gave was to not trust in eloquence. And verse 1 said, "If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." What this is relating to, there's a lot of people who know how to talk pretty crafty. There's a lot of folks who have an education, but they don't have the love to back up that education. They were taught in seminary one way, and I've told you before, I'm glad that there's colleges out there, but I went to the cemetery, I call it, because it was a dead experience for me, because everything about the cemetery was, it was all doing it man's way. And I didn't like that, but you know what happens? People come out of this. Now, I shouldn't say that. I'm sorry, Lord. Not everybody that comes out of seminary is what you would call an eloquent, empty speaker. There's a lot of good people come out. So, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me for that. And forget I said. But when people come out of seminary, there's some that come out and they know how to speak. They know how to deliver a sermon. I told you last week, a lot of people, they'll have an introduction. They'll have 3 points and a conclusion, wrap it in a package, and send you out the door. Feels like you went in and bought furniture, doesn't it? You went in, you got a bunch of confusion, and next thing you know, you're getting something that you really didn't want, and then you're heading home with it. And that's what happens in churches today. That's really not only in church, it happens on TV, it even happens out in the streets. There are people who go out and they'll preach the word of the Lord, or they will witness to people, and they're doing it out of love. And this is what Paul is talking about. We have to be careful, because we could be a great speaker. We could be intelligent, folks. But if we don't have any love, then the person that's doing all the talking or doing the works is just making a bunch of noise. And I think probably one of the worst things that I can't stand to listen to is to hear a preacher get on TV and start preaching the prosperity gospel. That if you start sending me all your money, God's going to bless you and you're going to be rich. And I can't tell you how many times that I hear preachers get on TV and they'll start saying, "If you can think it, it'll happen." Not once do I hear on TV anymore some preacher preaching about salvation. It's always a comforting message. It's always something meant to tickle the ears and warm the heart, and then they want to send you home. They just want to make sure that you're giving a good offering. So we have a lot of people in the world today who have the ability to get to your ears, and once they get into your ears, they can get into your brain. And when they've got done with you, you haven't learned any more than when you first walked in or when you first started listening to them. But Paul says, if there is no love, you're just making noise. But let me tell you this. A person who is anointed with the love of the Lord, a person who is walking in a right relationship with Jesus, when they're preaching the gospel, when they are serving the Lord, when they're teaching Sunday school or they're witnessing, great things are going to happen and blessings will follow that person. One person that I could think of that I love dearly, who was my mentor, is Reverend Ron Cremines. Reverend Ron Cremines came to Third Baptist Church of Marion in 1987, after Brother Trotter had left and retired, and I thought, you know what? There's no way I could like another preacher. I loved Brother Trotter because I had him from the fourth grade, well, half of fourth grade, all the way through high school, and I had nothing but the utmost of respect, because every time Brother Trotter came to church, everything the man did was in love, and I used to think nobody could match that guy. My problem was I had my eyes on the man. And that's the other thing I want to warn you about too. Don't put your eyes on people. Don't ever put your eyes on me. Don't ever tell people, boy, Brother Jim's the greatest thing. Don't ever say that. I really, and I'm not saying that to be mean, but I want everybody to exalt and lift up the Lord because He's the one that deserves our praise. He's the one that deserves the honor and the glory. But anyway, when Brother Ron Cremines came along to the church, God put a man in my path that would teach me what real love and servanthood was about. What serving, about forgetting all about yourself and picking up your cross and following Christ. Because I went to places with Brother Ron that I thought I would never go, and I got involved in some things that I never thought I'd be involved in. But through it all, the love of the Lord was at work. And when Brother Ron would preach, you could tell that the man was operating in God's love. Because when you left church, you didn't forget what the sermon was about. When you left Wednesday night, you didn't forget what Bible study was about, but it stuck. And that's the kind of people we need serving the Lord today. Not ones who can speak great words. I don't like to come up here and speak seminary words, but boy, I tell you, I'll listen to preachers on TV, and man, they use these big words, and I'm having to go look it up online to see what the words meant. See, I'm a hillbilly. I'm from the South, and I like simple. I don't like this big, fancy, blown out of proportion stuff that we're seeing on TV today. Because if you go to church and you come to church empty and you leave church empty, then the person speaking in the pulpit or whoever has done the speaking is the wrong person and is not operating in the love of the Lord. And I'm not afraid to say that, because when the Lord is speaking through the man in the pulpit or the woman or in the Sunday school room or wherever it might be, you will certainly know it. Secondly, Paul warns us about not trusting in certainty. The Corinthians prized their certainty. In fact, they loved certainty. They were so sure of their teachers that they split into groups, and some would follow Paul, some Cephas, and some Apollos. They wanted to make sure that they were with the person they liked. Be careful of who you put your trust in. You should always put your trust and hope and faith in God first. Don't ever base faith, hope, and trust in a person, because man was born into sin, and even though he's been saved, he's still a man and has faults. Because you can put your trust in somebody that is not walking with the Lord, and that person will lead you like a lamb to the slaughter. And that's what the Corinthians were doing. They were basing everything on Paul, Cephas, and Apollos, and they were clinging on to the very words that they said. In fact, they were looking to the person and not God. Please don't, I'll say this again, don't ever come into this church because I'm here preaching a message. Don't ever, please don't ever do that. When we come to church, we have to come to church because God is here. God is the one that we're seeking, not the pastor, not anybody else. And we've got to be careful what we're listening to. There, like I said, there's so many people on TV today that are preaching a watered-down version of the gospel, and people are being hooked into it. You know why? Because some folks are finding it easier to not have to live for the Lord. If they could just think it, it'll happen. And that's what people are doing today. It's a dangerous thing to fall into the trap of somebody who is preaching a message that doesn't line up with God's Word. I listened to a preacher one time talk about, he said, well, if all my ministry was about money, he said, I prayed one time that the Lord would cleave my tongue to the roof of my mouth. And I thought, Lord, why didn't you do it? Because every week, all he did was got on TV and talked about his houses, his cars. And I want to say this. I'm not judging these people, but this is what I've heard out of their mouth. I know it doesn't line up with God's word, and I know I can speak it. And today, we've got people out there like Jesse Duplantis, and boy, they'll tell you about how great they are, and they'll tell you how they've had these encounters one-on-one with God, how God came to them. Well, you know what? I've had encounters with God, but I can tell you this, God has remained on His throne in heaven, and I've had encounters with God in my life, but I'll tell you this one thing, I'm not up here preaching about money. I'm not preaching how to get rich. And I'm not telling you how great and wonderful I am or how many houses and boats and planes I've got. I'm up here telling you this morning that you can't make it through life without the love of the Lord. Teachers can have knowledge and they can have gifts of faith and certainty, but if all that they're speaking and doing isn't done in love, then it's not going to profit anything. God's Word says to turn in faith to Jesus. Turn from your sin and trust Him. Faith in Jesus and turn from your sin. Turn from your wickedness. When I come to church on Sunday, as I'm driving over, I always ask the Lord, Father, have your way in the service today. And I said, Lord, I pray that you would deal with people's hearts and my heart as you need to do so. And God, I pray that when we leave church today, that we'll leave different than when we came in. I hope that what we do is that we turn everything over to the Lord in our lives. If we trust in Jesus, if we turn away from ourselves and we obediently follow where the Lord leads, because where the Lord guides, the Lord provides. And if we trust God with the yard sale, if we trust God with the finances of the church, if we trust God with salvation, if we trust God with building Sunday school, if we trust God truly and we are seeking that and we're seeking it and doing it in love, then I know that the Lord will answer and I know that the Lord will bless this church. But your eyes have to be on God because God is the foundation of our love. I want to say this. You could put a pan of water on the stove. You can set it upon the burner. And you could stand there and watch it, and it ain't going to do nothing until you apply a good source of heat to it. Now, when you turn on that burner, you turn it on just a little bit, you know what will happen? It'll take a while, but that water will start to warm a little. It'll take a long time for it. But if you take that knob and turn it up high and you watch, man, if you ever have an electric burner, man, that thing gets red hot. And that water before long starts to boil. And it's the same way with our relationship with the Lord. Too many times we get saved and we put ourselves up there, but we don't apply the source to make things happen. If we would turn up the intensity of the Lord's love and our relationship with Him, then we would see things start to happen. We would see God moving in great and mighty ways. Jesus always loved His Father, and He was always obedient, and God always took care of His Son. And Jesus just gave us the simple task that if we would simply believe and commit and trust with our hearts and love, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, all your spirit. Love the Lord your God. then the Lord would abide with us and the Lord will do the great things that He's wanting to do. But if we are just sitting there and we're not applying the Lord to our life, we'll be like that pot of water without the heat going to it. Beware of your works. This is the last thing. Beware of your works. Today's culture and in time past, people loved the outward appearance of generosity. We love to give to those, we love to give to people possessions, and there's some people that like to sacrifice their lives, but we don't want to be with them, but we admire them. We put their names on buildings and bridges, and we lift up people's names. What I'm saying by that, be careful of the works. There's people who do great works, but don't put your trust in their name. And I say that because I was wrong back in my days when I said nobody could ever top Brother Frank Trotter. I thought he was a great, and he did a lot of good things. And I thought, man, we need to recognize this guy. We need to honor our pastor. We need to do this. You know how Brother Trotter was? Brother Trotter was, don't put any attention on me whatsoever. Don't ever put any attention on me. Yeah, there's people out there. There's a lot of big names out in ministry today that are out there doing works. But are the works that they're doing for the Lord, are they doing it in love? Verse 3 said, and if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, if I surrender my body to be burned, do not have love, it profits me nothing. So, if we, as a church, go out and do all these great things, then it profits us nothing if we don't do it in love. So, what I want to encourage you today is to honor the Lord with your life and let the love of the Lord shine through your heart. Because I'm telling you, I told you that story a while back about the woman and the man would pass each other every morning, and she would just radiate with the love of the Lord. And she'd smile at him and she'd say, good morning. Good morning. How are you today? Or a friendly wave, but she would always smile and look directly at him. And one morning, as they passed by, the man said, ma'am, could I speak to you for just a moment? She said, sure. He said, I just wanted to say thank you. And she said, for what? He said, every morning I have walked by here. He said, the first time I saw you, he said, I was on my way to take my own life because I had no hope. I had nothing left to live for. He said, I was going to go kill myself. I was going to go jump off a bridge. But he said, that first morning I passed you by, and he said, I looked at you and I could tell there was something different about you. And it started, and he said, I made sure that every morning I walked the same route, because he said, I wanted what you had inside of you. He said, I could tell it was the love of the Lord because it shined ever so brightly out of you. And he said, it made such a difference in me. He said, I wanted to live. Would you share with me about this love? And the woman, she witnessed to the man and told him about God's love. But what she did, she gave of herself. She gave up everything in her life to give to this man that day. And the man got saved and turned his life completely around. And so when we're walking in the Lord's excellent love, when we are ministering to others, it's going to be evident. People will see it. They'll know it. And I hope that when people see me or talk to me, I really do hope and pray that they see Jesus and not me. I really do. And I'm praying that this Saturday during the yard sale, I'm praying that we all get the chance, but I'm praying that all week and next week that we get the chance every day to witness to someone, and I pray that people get saved. We're not out there just to sell stuff that got dropped off. We're out there to be a difference to the world around us. So if you're a Christian and you love the Lord, then it will show in your life. So let that love shine brightly.